You might like to turn in your Bible to the book of Jeremiah and chapter 32. And in our exercise, as we've been looking at Jeremiah, and God has given it so that we could have the necessary understanding of how things work in the outworking of history. And in particular, in this case, Israel. And God's going to go, because of their unbelief, they are where they are today. But God encouraged them as Nebuchadnezzar was literally leveling this in the city, leveling it. Chapter 32, we read together in verse 38. And they shall be my people, and I will be their God. And I will give them one heart and one way. Why? That they may fear me forever, for the good of them and for their children after them. And I will make an everlasting covenant with them, that I will not turn away from them, to do them good. But how are you going to make that happen? But I will put my fear in their hearts that they may not depart from me. So, and we looked at the God, this is God's wonderful, wonderful normal, as it were, to have recognized God, to respect God, and in the process to have a heart for God. And honor God. In other words, how many ways are there? There's one way, God's way. And that's the normal. That's the normal. Now, God's going to make that happen. And in the process of doing that, we share together, as we looked at it, what does it mean? How does it work? In verse 39, that they may fear me. How do we fear God? And even fear God forever. Verse 40. And I will not turn away from them to do them good, but I will put my fear in their hearts that they will not depart, disappear, back off from me. I'm going to do that. So A, to fear God. And the fear is going to come from where? The fear is going to come from God. That's where the fear has to come from. Where am I going to get this fear? From God. Now, in the light of that, exercising so we have take advantage, because we're here, sitting here tonight and all of that, and in the process, we are able to have one Lord, one love, one life, one God. We're able to have it right here and now. And we represent one way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. We represent what Jews and Gentiles need to see. That's going to be for them tomorrow, but not now. And we represent that. One heart, one way, and we fear God. How does that help us? Over, if I can, Isaiah. And in Isaiah chapter 43, you know, but just pay a little more attention as we do this. You will know, please, in chapter 43, sliding to verse 10. You are my witnesses, Israel, saith the Lord, my servant whom I have chosen, that you may know and believe me. Very, very personal, direct. The purpose of Israel is to have such a clear understanding of God. They know him and are resting, believing in him. And understand. What are they to be understanding? That I am He, Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. Now, there's all kinds of kings and people and humans and stars and animals, but only one God. Only one. One creator, just one. You need to give, with that in mind, just one God. God, what are you pushing for, rightly? What are you looking for? I'm looking for my creation to rightly understand I am God, I am the only one. And I want you to go, Israel, and for us to fear me as the only God. There are no other gods. There are no other choices. There are no other anythings. Just God. You have to think about that, because we don't do that, and the world doesn't do it. There's only one God, and we need to understand we're in His presence. He's way above all that we can ask or think. Verse 11, I, even I, am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. So it's very clear, simple, one. What is it to fear God? To understand He is the God. What is the word fear? The fear has to do with to feel awe, reverence, to esteem highly, to be God-fearing, being God. God, what are you saying? What did you say to Moses in Exodus 3? I am that I am. I am who I am always. I want you to understand that. What does that do? That creates a healthy respect, because there's no competition. There's no other way for anything. He's the only God. And we understand that. Only one. That's what I want you to understand. The fear of God. What is the fear of God? The awe, the awesomeness of God. He's the only one. And we respect Him. We're in His presence. We fear God. Only one. Now, do that again, so you drive it home. Chapter 44. And in verse 8, fear ye not, neither be afraid. For have I not told thee from that time, and have I have declared it? You are my witnesses. You are my witnesses. Is there a God beside me? Yea, there is no God. I know not any. I'm the only God. And it's a healthy, not I'm going to pray to God. I'm praying to, I understand, He's the only God. Period. No competition, nothing. He's just the only God. So, and remember we said the word fear, because here it is. Fear, to fear the awesomeness of God. Afraid of God, highly esteeming God, to feel awe. If I understand God right, I'm going to come to Him. He's the only God. That's fear. I understand He's the only God, fear. If I don't want to respond to that understanding that He's God, Israel has to know and believe and understand He's God. Otherwise, we back off in idolatry and everything else to substitute. Do we don't want to have to think of God as the only God? We'd like to think there are many ways, many gods in many directions. We'd like to think like that. And so therefore we fear. And so the fear of God, instead of bringing it to Him, draws us back. We go back because we fear. He's the awe-inspiring one. We don't want to recognize that. He's the only one. We don't want to do that. And notice, therefore, that's negative. When I come forward to God, because of, he's the only God, what's it going to do to change my character and change my conduct when I come to God? He's the only one. God. We aren't talking about a king. We aren't talking about some genie or something. We're talking about God. And we shared the other day in all of those things, in Sunday and then. Looking, God. God is above everything. Out, God, God, phew, wow. Yeah, you, God's awesome. Chapter 45. And in verse 22, and you'll note, look unto me and be saved, all the ends of the earth. Why? For I am God, and there is none else. I have sworn by myself, the word has gone out of my mouth in righteousness, and shall not return, that unto me every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall swear, I am the Lord of lords, the King of kings. Everyone answers to me. There is no other. So God, having said that, that's the fear. Fear is that brings me to an understanding. God is the only one who he is, and he rightly expects humans that he creates to honor him. Not to honor something else, to honor him. He's the only one. What's wrong with that? He's the only one. You have to say, wow, now. So therefore, exercise. Job chapter 1. And in Job chapter 1, picking up, please, in Job 1. And you will note, and there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. That man was perfect, complete, wholehearted, and upright, and one that feared, there's your little verb we're looking at, to fear, to have awe, to be awed by the awesomeness of God, feared God, and avoided evil. He stayed away from the bad and looked to God, who is good. That's what he did. And God points him out to us. Now, having said that and pointing him out, in chapter 1, verse 8, and the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, and one that feareth God, and escheweth, avoideth evil. Remember, think now, here we come out of Genesis 6, the whole world, Genesis flood, we have him back, and Noah, that's where Job is. We're back there. We're way back there after that. So here's Job. And they didn't fear God. And Tower of Babel, Genesis 11, they're not fearing God. But there was a man, and God said, by the way, to the devil, who was busy watching the Tower of Babel and all that, doing it in the process. And in doing that, and by the way, I think Tower of Babel, and I just read the thing and the Great Reset and all of that. You don't care about that, but you should, because that's where the movement is, the Great Reset. The governments all programmed, looking to produce, and they want to, using the term they use, the Tower of Babel. We want to recreate the position of the Tower of Babel, where all the world enjoys equality and fairness by business running them like communism, running them, and everyone, the Great Reset, you see, like the Tower of Babel, like Genesis 11. A power in a city. Wow. Now, so here's Job, chapter 1, verse 8. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, etc. Verse 9. Then Satan answered the Lord and said, doth Job fear God for not? The item that makes the difference for Job among the other people that are out there, Job fears God. His family doesn't fear God so much, not at all, but Job does. Therefore, in the light of that, and then going on, remember, God lets the devil do all the things. Chapter 2, verse 3. And the Lord said unto Satan, after he did everything, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil, and still he holdeth fast his integrity, although thou movest me against him. Satan wanted God to take hands off and let Satan judge him, and he afflict him. That moveth me against him to destroy him without cause. And of course, then God, he wants the next thing. Since Job didn't get bothered by all the things in his life that disappeared overnight, then the devil said, well, let's go right after him straightway. Let's get him. And he plagued him. God let him do it. Hang on. Now, so having said that, and keeping that in mind, and here's Job. What makes Job so wonderful? He feared God. What does it mean to fear God? He recognized God as God. That's all. I talk to God, listen to God, pray to God, saved by God. That's what we do. Who are we talking to? God. We aren't talking to something that may happen, like a magic something. I say something just right, or I think right, or I... all right, stand on my head 10 times and pray. No, it's just God. It's my God. I fear him. Now, over to chapter 28. And in chapter 28, picking up in thought. And here's Job again, but I'm going to tie it together if I can. Here's Job, and in the process, they're all seeking to help Job figure out why God let the devil do this. So therefore, when we come to chapter 28, starting in verse 12, which is a wonderful little section, but where shall wisdom be found? In other words, if you go across everything and look under every stone and open every cave and climb every mountain and look down to the bottom of the ocean, you're not going to find wisdom. Where is it? Verse 12. But where shall wisdom be found? And where is the place of understanding? A man knoweth not the price thereof, neither is it found in the land of the living. The depth saith, it is not in me, and the sea saith, it is not with me. It cannot be gotten for gold, neither shall silver be weighed, but the price thereof. You can't buy it, you can't find it. It cannot be valued, verse 16, with the gold of Ophir, and with the precious onyx and sapphire. The gold and the crystal cannot equal it, and the exchange of it shall not be for the jewels of fine gold. No mention shall be made of coral or pearls, for the price of wisdom is above rubies. Sliding down, not very much, but a little bit for time. Whence, verse 20, whence then cometh wisdom? And where is the place of understanding? We haven't found it. We did everything, thought of everything. There isn't. Wow. Verse 22. Destruction and death say, we have heard the fame thereof with our ears. Good understanding, God understandeth the way thereof. He knoweth the place thereof. For he looketh on the ends of the earth and seeth under the whole heaven, to make the weight for the winds, and he weigheth the waters by measure. And that's pretty good. You want to weigh the oceans. They weigh a couple pounds in a big scale. Okay, verse 26. When he made a decree for the rain and a way for the lightning or the thunder, then did he see it and declare it. He prepared it, yea, and searched it out. So God says, I'm going to help you. You can't see under the ocean. You can't see on top of the mountain. That's what we've been reading. God said, let me look for you. God said, I'm looking at the top of the mountain. It's not there. I'm looking down the bottom of the ocean, 7 miles down. Like, it isn't there. He's helping. He's helping Job. Job can't do it. God said, let me help you. I'll do it for you. I'll do the work for you. Now, thus, verse 27. Then did he see it and declare it, yea, he prepared it, yea, and searched it out. And unto man he saith, remember they want to know, where are we going to find wisdom? Verse 28, and unto man he saith, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and depart from evil is understanding. Job feared God and hated evil. It's the fear of God. The fear of God is wisdom. You're very wise to recognize God rightly. You're very smart to do that. But I don't, then you'll never find. You'll never find. You won't come up with any answers. Now, having said that little bit, and keeping that in mind, God's wonderful, wonderful, awesome person. Now, here comes Israel, and we did it just, I'll do this one place. Remember we read last time, God teaches us. You have to learn to love. You learn to fear. You learn it. The little kid growing up should learn to respect his parents. That's what it should do. Learn to understand things, that people have authority and everything. It should be growing up to understanding. We're growing up to understanding God. God, the only one. I have to learn to fear. I learn to love. I learn. Now, so, in the light of that, over to Deuteronomy. And chapter 28 for a minute to remind yourselves. And you will note chapter 28. Remember when you begin, look at verse 15. Is the transition going from blessing to cursing. Blessing to cursing. When you begin verse 15, it's cursing. And man, does God say a lot about cursing. He said, do you understand? God gives you more information about hell than he does about heaven. He speaks more about hell. That's what you better be afraid of. You can't look to heaven unless you understand there's a hell. You better be saved from it. I died on the cross to save you from that place. Therefore, pay attention, you see. And so what are you saying, God? When you come to verse 15 and all the statements made about judgment, don't mess around with your relationship to God. And therefore, when we come to chapter 48 and in verse 58, you'll remember, If thou wilt not, N-O-T, observe to do all the words of this law that are written in this book, that thou mayest fear. Why did you give us the Bible? To rightly fear God with understanding. Otherwise, we'd be stupid about God. We'd be pantheist or something else, the little, whatever you want, a religion background you want, and God is this, and God is that. See, we'd be totally stupid about it. That's why God gave us his word. So therefore, the law that was written in the book, that thou mayest fear this glorious and fearful, there's your little word again, fearful name. What is that? The Lord Yahweh Jehovah, the Lord thy God, Elohim, the only one there is. He said, I'm the only God. There's no one else beside me. I told you that. And if you don't fear me, you're in trouble. You're in trouble now. And recognize. Now, having said that little bit, and keeping that in mind, if I can, God's awesome, often awfulness, as it were. Over, if you would, please. Over to Malachi. Since we're on that aspect of it. Malachi. And Malachi, picking up, please, in chapter 1. And in Malachi chapter 1, remember Malachi is the last book in the last book that was written in the Old Testament. John the Baptist and then all of them was all that time after that. Now, Malachi chapter 1, here's Israel. And Malachi is delivering the last prophetic message in the Old Testament. Malachi 1, verse 6. A son honoreth his father, and a servant his master. If then I be a father, where is mine honor? And if I be a master, ruler, where is my fear? If I'm the judge, if I'm the boss, if I'm the controller, where is your fear of me? Where is your fear of me? If I'm the only God, where is your fear? Saith the Lord of hosts, O unto you, O priest that despise my name, and ye say, wherein have we despised thy name? Now, slide over so you pick it up in the Malachi chapter 3. And in chapter 3, picking up, please, if I can, verse 5. And I will come near to you to judgment, and I will be a swift witness against the sorcerers, against the adulterers, against the false witness bearers, swearers, against those that oppress the hiring in his wages, the widow and the fatherless, and that turn aside the stranger from his right, and fear not me, saith the Lord of hosts. The trouble with it all, and why God's judgment, you don't fear me. So when we come to the end, so you want to know how important is this business of fearing God? They aren't fearing God. When you come to Malachi, they aren't fearing God. But God never changes the rules of what he's after. God's looking for those that will honor him. Remember, God said to the devil, what do you think of my man Job? He fears me. What do you think of that, Satan? He fears me. You do, but from a wrong direction. What do you think of Job? When we come to Malachi, God says, I don't think a lot about what's going on because there's no fear. But by the way, you remember it, verse 16. Then they that feared the Lord spoke often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them, for who? For them that feared the Lord, and that thought upon his name. God said, by the way, I know. That's why, God, why didn't you pick a whole group of people? You just picked Job, one man, fears me. Wow. Now, hang on. So therefore, Therefore, that's wonderful, but how does it end? Malachi, and chapter 4, and in verse 2. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings, and ye shall go forth and grow as the calves of the stall. In other words, it's going to be, what are you saying, God? The people that are fearing God are a remnant, but those that are fearing God, be of good cheer. God's going to take care of you. And back the way, as you know, in verse 17, they are a treasure. The people that fear God are a treasure to me. A treasure to me. Hang on. Can't even do that now. Now, chapter Malachi, chapter 4, in verse 5. Behold, as you come to the end, behold, I send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. Do you see the word dreadful? That's the word fear. Fear. Terrible. Terrible. Awesome. Awe. To feel awe. The great and awesome day of the Lord. Terrible day. Terrible. That's the word fear is translated that way. Terrible. Terrible. Awesome. Beyond understanding. Beyond. It's wow. To fear God. Well, awe, the awe-inspired awesomeness, the awful awfulness, the awful awesomeness of God's awesomeness. How's that come out? Yeah, that's what it is. Oh, the words aren't even there. There aren't even words. Now, having said that, that's how the Old Testament ends. The Jews don't like that. So in their Bible, they don't put Malachi at the end. They moved it. Who wants to end the Old Testament, which we believe were Jews? In the Old Testament, we don't want it to end with cursing. What kind of thing is that? So they moved it in their Bible. So, but in the Bible, that's where it is. Now you got that. It's a wonderful thing. You do everything you can trying to get God out of the picture, but it won't work. So therefore, now, having said that, keep that in mind, Revelation chapter 14. And in Revelation chapter 14, you will note, please, if I can, going to verse 6. And I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel of peace unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation and kindred and language, tongue and people. In other words, the whole earth is going to be put on notice by an angel. Everyone, announcement. It isn't like going to be in the television or some internet or something. God's going to personally go around Jonah did, only God's God. He's going to go over every place. The angel's going to fly over every place. And what on earth are you going to tell us worldlings that are doing what we're doing? Verse 7, saying with a loud voice, fear, that's a word, that's a command. Fear God. That's the word. What are you going to tell the people? Fear God. What are you going to tell them? Shouldn't you tell them some other things? No. They need to fear God, and they aren't doing it. And they're going to pay for it. Thus, verse 7, saying with a loud voice, fear God and give glory to him. For the hour of his judgment is come, and worship him that made heaven and earth, and the sea, and the fountains of waters. You better fix your mind and honor God. Fix your mind and honor God. Turn around and exercise your wonderful, wonderful, and have a wonderful, wonderful relationship to him in a most holy way. Over, if you can now, over to Psalm 130. Psalm 130. And you will please note Let me get there. Psalm 130. And while you're in Psalm 130, hold your finger there. I'm going to go back to a moment ago with Job chapter 28, as I think of it. Don't go to Job. Hold your finger in Psalm 130 and go back over to Proverbs chapter 9. Proverbs in chapter 9. And remember, what is wisdom? The fear of wisdom, to have the fear of God. That's wisdom. Good wisdom. You want wisdom? Fear God. A wise person. Psalm 9, Proverbs chapter 9, picking up, please, in verse 9. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be yet wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning. The fear, there's your little word, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One, understanding is understanding. What's wisdom? Fear God. Fear God. Respect God. That's what we're doing. I need to do that. Understand me. Thank God. When I pray to God, I read His Word. Back over to Psalm 130. And in Psalm 130, picking up, if I may, in thought, verse 1. Out of the depth have I cried unto thee, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let thine ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. Hear my prayer. If thou, Lord, should mark iniquities, if you should go and point them out and keep a little record book of all of them, if you should mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? Who can possibly survive that? If you take us apart, God, for what we really are, we couldn't pass the test. Verse 4. But, in contrast, there is forgiveness with thee. Why is there forgiveness, God? That you may fear me. I want to save you so you can honor me. I am who I am. I want you saved. I want you wonderfully saved to enjoy a fear. Remember what we read in Jeremiah 32? Fear me forever, and you'll never depart from me. I'm the only God. That's what I want you to do, to fear me. That's an awful thing, fear God. Why do I have to be afraid? No, you don't understand fear. Most people don't understand peace either. They don't understand a lot of things. So God, help us. Verse 4, but there is forgiveness with thee that thou mayest be feared. That's a wonderful thing, God, to be forgiven. That's what we have to do. God died on the cross. He died on the cross to what? Take our sin in his own body on the tree. To what? Provide us with a pardon, with forgiveness. Why do we need forgiveness? Because we can't be rightly related to God, to enjoy God, to fear God. Fear, to enjoy the person of God. You can't be rightly related unless you get saved. Are they going to fear God in the lake of fire forever? I guess so. I guess so. But you never have any of the benefits. What are the benefits of fearing God? Here they are. Here's my tissue. My tissue's all around useful thing. Here's my tissue. And here you are. And you fear God, and you fear God, and you fear God. You know what's happening when you fear God? We read it in Isaiah 43, 10, 11. When you keep fearing God, it keeps coming this way. Keeps coming this way. Keeps coming this way. I'm on a journey into the heart of God. this way. The more I fear, the more I respect. Job, did you fear God? Oh boy, did Job fear God. And he went through the mill to learn how to fear. And what happened when Job woke up to at the chapter 42 and said, wow, God, it's too wonderful what you are, who you are. And Job ended up here. God got him closer. God got him closer. That's what God did. That's a wonderful thing. I fear God. I do. Yeah. And now, having said that, yeah, forgiveness, and that's how we're going to get saved. We get saved, we're forgiven, so we can what? Oh, know God and honor him. Over to Psalm 34 in closing. We didn't get too far, but I hope you got a little bit, inch by inch, you know. Chapter 34, picking up, please, in verse 1. David, help us. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. O magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and he delivered me from all my fears. Do you remember in Jeremiah chapter 32, verse 40? And I will give them my fear, so that they fear my fear, as I understand who I am, not as you understand. That my fears, my phobias, we did all this. Remember, we did all the whole thing we did on fear. Fears, phobias, all over the place. The second dictionary had that out thing. Fears, phobias, and phobias. Phobias, afraid of the light being on, afraid of the light being off, and all kinds of things. Okay. Those are my fears. I'm afraid of this. This is going to happen. God, what are you going to do in the millennium? What are you going to do when you restore Israel? I'm going to give him my fear. And once you fear me rightly, you'll never have another fear. No, you won't. That's what you want to do. Fear me. Think of Hebrew, Matthew 10. Don't fear him who can kill you and cut you to ribbons. Don't fear him. Fear me, who can take your soul and body. Don't fear them. Don't fear man, a whole other section. Don't be afraid of people. We are. We're intimidated with people. Fear God.